That's an old one. But it focuses in on the Lord our shepherd, based again, as you could tell, on the 23rd Psalm. So our scripture this morning is taken from Psalm 23, a familiar portion of scripture to many of us. And I imagine if I read this in the King James, we could probably all recite it because of one that we know so well. But yet, even in the familiar portions of scripture, God has a lot to continue to say to us, and always something new that we can hear from him. So we pray that the Lord will speak to us this morning, anew and afresh, as we come to his word. Let's hear his word together. Psalm 23. And I also ask you to put a mark in John 10, because we're going to be looking at Psalm 23 and John 10 this morning. We're going to be referring to both of these portions of God's word throughout the day. Let's hear the scripture. A Psalm of David. The scripture declares, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord always adds his blessing to both the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you as we come before this morning that you are the one who guides and directs us. As we look into your word again this morning, we ask that you would feed us through your word, that you would encourage us, that you would refresh us. For Lord, you are here with us today. And as your sheep, we have come before you to gather in your name. So Lord, through your word, bring glory to yourself. Draw our hearts close to you today, that when we leave here, we can say it has been good to be in your presence because we've heard again anew and afresh from you. Equip us with your word and with your truth through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Harriet Tubman was a black woman born in 1820 on a farm in Maryland. She had an opportunity to escape from her master by traveling at night through open fields and across streams into the free state of Pennsylvania. She escaped successfully in 1847 and embarked on a career as a conductor of what became known as the Underground Railroad. During the years from 1849 to 1860, Harriet Tubman had made 19 trips to the South to lead groups of slaves to freedom in the North. She could travel only at night, following a different route each trip to avoid detection by the slave hunters. She took nothing with her on her life and death errands except her gun and a strange sixth sense of knowing that when she was being followed. She didn't have much in terms of worldly goods, background, or education, but she had enough. Here in her own words was her description of how she made it through all those dark nights. Quoting her, she said, "'Twarn't me, 'twas the Lord. I've always told him, I trust you. I don't know where to go or what to do, but I expect you to lead me. And he always did," unquote. Just imagine the closeness that she must have held and felt to Jesus at every step along that frightening railroad trip and those trips to the South. The Lord was Harriet Tubman's shepherd. And through him, she was able to lead over 300 slaves to freedom out of the time of deep darkness, because she knew what it was like to have the Lord as her shepherd. Today, as we continue our theme, looking at the names of God, today we come to the name Jehovah Ra'ah. Jehovah Ra'ah, the meaning we've seen from the word Jehovah already, meaning I am the Lord, the one who is. Ra'ah, the word for shepherd, the one who shepherds us, the one who cares for us. And today we're going to focus on that. Jesus, the Lord, who is our shepherd. And the word shepherd is the word from which we get pastor. The Lord who pastors us, the one who is our pastor, the one who cares. A shepherd is a person who tends and cares for sheep. Keep in mind that shepherds in Bible times were not one of the most regarded or highly regarded, looked at professions. We talked about that at Christmas, as you remember, when the shepherds were abiding out in the field. They were often despised. They were often looked down upon. They were often considered dirty and lowly. But yet, it was a shepherd that the Lord describes himself as, and that name, the Lord being our Ra'ah, our shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the Lord there is called the great shepherd of the sheep. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, the Lord is referred or called the chief shepherd. So that is a name that he gives himself and is referred to in the scripture, the Lord being called or identified as our shepherd. And the name, this is a name of God that is associated with his love, his mercy, and his care. As we've seen with some of the other names of God, I am and Most High, early on, it focused on his power, it focused on his glory, it focused on his greatness. This name focuses on God's personal care, love, and mercy for you and me, his sheep. And it reveals to us the personal nature of our God, because David begins this hymn by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, meaning personal. It shows you how personal God cares for you and I as his sheep, members of his flock. And the Bible identifies us as sheep. And we're going to learn this morning that's not too flattering. Because to be identified as sheep, we're going to discover some things about them and why sheep need a shepherd and why our Lord, who is your shepherd and mine, what it means for us in our life as he cares for us every day. So the name Jehovah Ra'ah reveals to us two wonderful truths about our God this morning. First, we discover through that name his loving care. And we see how much he cares for you as his sheep, as his lamb, precious to him. Just as a shepherd cares for his sheep that he knows and cares for. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be at want. One of the ways that he cares for you and I and shows his personal care for you every day is that he feeds us. Just as a shepherd feeds his sheep, so the Lord feeds you and me. In fact, the Lord had given that commission to Peter when he had told him after his denial, and he denied Jesus three times, and after the resurrection, when the Lord asked Peter three times, do you love me? And every time the Lord gave Peter that commission, feed my sheep. The Lord, as our shepherd, feeds us. Psalm verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Or the King James says, I shall not want. Now, sometimes we get a misunderstanding of what that word want means. But what that word want means, it doesn't mean things we want. It means that we will never be lacking anything. That because God is your shepherd, because he cares for you in a very personal way, you will never, ever lack anything you need. Isn't that a comfort? David says, it may not be. He says, because he is my shepherd, I will not be in want. You will not ever lack anything that you need because your shepherd knows what you need. And he will care for it. Just as a good shepherd cares for the needs, makes sure that his sheep are fed and protected. Just as any good farmer cares for his animals and makes sure that they have the feed they need. So the Lord does that for you and me, that we will not want or lack anything. Doesn't mean that we will have everything we want, but it does mean that we will have everything we need. And there's a difference. And we can rest in that promise that the shepherd will feed you with all that you need. He will see that those needs are taken care of. And our shepherd is committed to meeting the needs of his sheep. And aren't you thankful for that? We can rest in that fact. Because sheep are totally dependent. They need care. They need to be provided. They need to be cared for. Sheep can't survive on their own. Nor can we survive without the Lord. And we need that daily feeding from him and that daily provision that he, our shepherd, gives to us. He cares for us by feeding us, but he also cares for us by leading us. That he leads us. Verse 2 says, he leads me. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the quiet waters. When a shepherd leading his sheep, and sheep are inclined to follow, and they follow well, but they can also wander away, as we'll see. But he leads us to places of nourishment, where we can find the spiritual refreshment in our life, to find our soul refreshed and nourished in him. Notice David says this, and David spoke from experience, because remember, he was a shepherd. He cared for his father's sheep, Jesse, and he firsthand understood what shepherding was all about. And then God eventually elevated him to shepherd people of Israel through being a king. But he understood, and you have to lead, a shepherd has to lead his sheep out to the green pastures. And he looks to, the shepherd will look to where the green meadows are, where it's lush, where they can, the sheep can go and find all that they need to graze and to get their needs supplied and to be nourished. He'll also lead them by the streams of still water. And why is that important? Because I discovered again this week that sheep are afraid of fast flowing streams. And waters, and when they're by a water that's fast and flowing, it makes them afraid. So the shepherd knows that. So he leads them to a place where the streams are calm and still, where they can drink deeply. And our Lord leads us to that place where we can drink of the stream of him, the living water. And our soul can be refreshed and nourished by having that drink. And he leads us to that place of provision. And he leads us to the green meadows where we can graze deeply on him. And we can be nourished and have our soul fed and refreshed. That green pastures is a picture of the nourishment that comes from the word of God. That as we feed on his word and we drink it in and his soul refreshes us, we find strength, and he leads us to that place, to a deeper relationship with him, to the places of nourishment where we can find refreshment in our spirit. But he also leads us to the places of peace where we can find spiritual restoration, because he says he leads us by the still waters and green pastures, quiet waters and still green pastures, but he also makes us lie down there. It says in verse 2, he makes us lie down in those green pastures. And lying down, that word means to pitch a tent. It means to tabernacle or to tarry. And so our shepherd sometimes leads us to the meadows, so we have to graze there, but also lie down and rest. Now, sheep are not have a tendency to lie down on their own. Sheep are skittish. They're frightful animals. They can be easily scared. And because sheep get cast down, they have a tendency to get cast down. And when a sheep gets cast down, it means they'll turn themselves upside down on their back like that. And they can't right themselves. And they'll get themselves cast down and they'll get on their back. Their feet will be flailing. They'll try to fail their feet. They'll try to turn themselves back up, but they can't. The shepherd has to come and lift them back up again and put them back on their feet. You and I have a tendency to get cast down, don't we? We can get cast down and discouraged by life, by all the things going on around us, and it's easy for us to get cast down. We're on our back, our feet are flailing, and we're like crying for help, and we need the shepherd to come and to pick us up and to put us back on our feet again and to restore us in those times we get spiritually cast down. And then to do that, he makes us lie down where we can tarry, where we can find rest, where we can find peace. In his book, a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. Philip Keller, who was a shepherd, who looked at Psalm 23, described what lying down in green pastures means. And he said, in his book, he said, sheep will only not lie down when these things happen, because they're so skittish. They'll only lie down whenever they're free from fear. And when the fear is around them, there's the fear is taken aware of, and they know that the shepherd's going to take care of them and protect them. When they're free from friction and there's no fighting within the flock or dissension within the flock. When they're free from parasites, the things inside of them or the sick that might make them sick. And when they're free from hunger and those needs are being contented and they know that they've had their needs fulfilled in the green pastures. And when those things are met, then the sheep will lie down. You know, our shepherd does the same thing for us. He takes that fear away, that friction, and the parasites of sin and sickness, he can take that away, and satisfying our needs so we can lie down and find peace in him and to rest. And notice what it says. David says, he makes me lie down. There's times the Lord, the shepherd, has to put the time out on us and put the brakes and say, hey, you got to lie down a minute. You got to rest in me. You're running around, you're being too hectic, and sometimes we get so hectic we don't lie down in the Lord's presence and take the time. And so I ask you this morning, the Lord says, are you taking the time to pitch our tent and to lie down in his presence of the shepherd? Just to lie down, to rest in him. Because that's where we find contentedness. That's where we find peace. He's leading us to that place, to the meadow where we can lie down, find rest and peace in him. But he also shows his care for us and that he guides us. He feeds us, he leads us, and he guides us. Verse 3 says that he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's that again, for his name's sake. And he guides us in the path. Because sheep are dumb animals. They are dumb, and they need guidance. If one sheep wanders off the path and goes one way, all the other sheep will follow it. And sometimes they'll follow that sheep to their own destruction. And they need to be guided, just like in this picture, running. The one went out in the middle of the road, and the others follow them across. And that can happen. They don't know. Sheep, because they're dumb, they don't learn from their mistakes. And the shepherd can come and correct them, and they'll go right back out on the road again because they don't learn. Sometimes we're like that, don't we? We don't learn from our past mistakes, and we need guidance in our life. They also have a tendency to wander and go astray. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned to our own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We too have a tendency to wander away. And the shepherd had a crook that looked like this on his staff. And he used that for the purpose of guiding the sheep. And we see it here. And when they would go off the path, the shepherd would nudge them and move them forward to find the green pastures. And he would use that to guide them to the place where they could go to the green pastures and get the nourishment. Or if they were wandering off the path, he would use that crook with the end and he would pull it back to himself so that they would not get too far away. And if the sheep was really rebellious and got kind of far away from him in desperation, the shepherd would take that crook and he would throw it at the sheep to get its attention to bring it back. And the Lord sometimes has to do that with us with discipline, but he guides us with discipline and direction, because just like sheep, we need it. Just like sheep, we can get off the path, and we got to be disciplined. We got to be directed, because we can nibble. Sheep have been known to nibble themselves off a cliff. And they'll go over here and the pasture looks a little bit greener where from where the shepherd is, and they'll nibble over here. And before long, they're nibbling over here. Then they're nibbling over here, and they don't realize they go right off the cliff. And the shepherd's there to guide them and to bring them back to himself to keep them from danger. And that's how the Lord cares for us, leading us through discipline, through direction. And notice he guides us in passive righteousness. The shepherd goes in front and he leads so that the sheep will follow him, showing the way. And our Savior has shown us the way and to walk in it and to follow his leading as he's lived the life before us. And he also shows his care for us in that he guards us. He guards and protects. That's one thing a shepherd does too, is a shepherd stands and guards his sheep from any attack. He has the club and he has the rod. And it says, I will fear no evil. Verse 4 says, even in the dark valley and the shadow of death, I don't need to fear those dark times when things, the valley of death is around me. My enemies are coming. The wolf are coming for the flock. He said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they give me comfort. Because sheep are defenseless, they need protection. Sheep don't have a way to defend themselves. They don't have claws like a lion. They don't have a scent like a skunk. They don't have porcupine. They don't have quills like a porcupine. They're utterly defenseless. And if a wolf comes to attack the flock, if the shepherd's not there to protect them, they're gone. And the same with you and I. We need the protection of our shepherd to protect us from our wolf, Satan, who is out there to destroy the flock and destroy us, to protect us from harm, to protect us from evil. He does that with his club and the rod. He said his rod and staff give us comfort. The rod was the smaller thing on the left, and it was the club, and he would use that, the shepherd would use that, and a sheep would be under attack by a wolf or a lion or anything, he would hit it, use that to hit it to protect the sheep. It was that David said he killed a lion and a bear whenever he was being challenged by Goliath, and he stepped forward and said, I can take this giant on, because he said, King Saul, he said, I killed a lion and a bear when they tried to attack the flock, and he said, this giant's the same, he's as good as dead to me as well, because he had the rod of protection. And the staff was used to bring the guidance and direction when they went away. But in those, the sheep find comfort, and we find comfort in our Lord. He is our shepherd. He is in his loving care, feeding us, leading us, protecting us, guarding us, and guiding us. We see his care for us. But the name Jehovah Ra'ah also reveals to us something else about our Lord, and that is his gentle nature. That as our shepherd, he cares for us. But because he's our shepherd, our good shepherd, he's also gentle. Shepherds are gentle in how they care for their sheep and how they love them. And our Lord is gentle to you and I as he cares for us. Go to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, Jesus said, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I am, reference again back to Jehovah, back to Yahweh, that he is the Lord. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. His gentle nature is seen in that he is fully committed to us. As his sheep, he gives his life. He lays his life down for you and for me. He went all the way to the cross. He put us before himself. That's how committed he is to you. That's how committed our shepherd is to us. That's how committed God is to you. That he laid himself down for you. The value that he placed on you and me. That he lays his life down for us. I am the good shepherd, he said, and the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. A shepherd who cares, he loves his sheep so much that if there was something to attack, the shepherd was willing to put himself there to protect the sheep. A good shepherd will do that. And Jesus did that for us and for us, for you and me. Also, he will not abandon us. Look at verse 12. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep in verse 12. And the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, trouble coming, he abandons the flock and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. What he's referring to there is the shepherd who took care of the sheep, who owns the sheep. Sometimes they would hire someone who would lead them for them. They didn't own the sheep, but they would take care of the sheep when the shepherd couldn't be there. And because they didn't own the sheep, when trouble came, they would leave the sheep on their own defenseless and let the sheep take care of themselves. But Jesus says, no, I am the good shepherd. I belong to me. You're my sheep. And I will never abandon you when trouble comes. I will be there by your side regardless. I will be there with you. I will not flee when the wolf comes. I will not flee when the hardships be. I will be there. And I will lay myself down before you and protect you and guard you along it and have that protection. That's how caring he is for you and how much he loves us, that he will never, ever abandon us. He will never, ever flee. And he seeks us when we go astray. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 6, about a shepherd who had 100 sheep in his flock. And one of the sheep wandered away from the flock. And the shepherd left the 99 and he went to seek the one who was lost. He could have said, well, I have 99 other sheep here. That one wandered away. That's okay. It went away on its own. It got itself into trouble. It can deal with it. It had to deal with the consequence. But that's not how the shepherd looked at it. The shepherd left the 99 safely, and he went out and sought the one astray and put it on his shoulders. And when he brought it back rejoicing, and everybody rejoiced. And that's how the shepherd is with you and me. When we do go astray, he seeks us. He doesn't leave us there, but he seeks after us and he brings us back and he rejoices and he puts us back on his shoulder and carries us home in those times when we fall into sin. Aren't you thankful? That's his gentle nature being seen, that he cares for you that much, that even when we go astray, and that's why he came, so that we could be forgiven. He is fully committed to you as the good shepherd, but also as the good shepherd, he is fully focused on us as well. Jesus continued by saying in verses 14 through 18, he says, I am the good shepherd. He repeats that again. And I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Here we see the intimacy. Here we see the personality, personal, how much the Lord is our personal good shepherd is, that he is fully focused on you and me because he knows us. He knows your name. And think of that in the midst of all the people in the world, the Lord knows you. And now I'm not a shepherd. And when I see sheep and I'm out in the field, I see sheep. A lot of them look the same, especially if they're all white. Now, sometimes there may be some with a black face and white, but some, if they're all white, they all look the same to me. But a shepherd knows his sheep intimately. And he knows their idiosyncrasies. He knows what each one needs. He knows how to lead that sheep to the green pasture. Just as we talked about earlier, the unspoken requests, the Lord knows that. Our shepherd knows those. He knows what each sheep needs to find the green pasture and where to get the flowing water that's best for them. And he leads us there. And he has that intimacy, and it says, we know him. He knows our sheep, and our sheep know him. Then he goes on to say that the sheep will not follow somebody they don't know. Go up to verse 2. He said, the man who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, but the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they would never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. That shows the intimacy and shows the personality that the Lord knows his sheep. And what the picture is here, what it's referring to is the practice in Bible times. It was at nighttime, the shepherds would have what they called a sheepfold in a community. And all their different flocks, they would bring them into one sheepfold where all the sheep would be together. And the shepherd would sleep in front of the door and guard them so that if any wolf or something would come in, they'd have to step over the sheep, over the shepherd, to protect them. And so the shepherd would be the gate. and he would guard the sheep inside. But in the morning, he would get up and the shepherds would go to take their field out, their sheep out to pasture, and they would divide their sheep by calling their name and by giving a particular sound. And when they heard the particular sound, the sheep knew the sound of their shepherd and they would follow that voice. And all the shepherds would go off making their sound and the sheep would hear and they would separate themselves by listening for their shepherd's voice. And they wouldn't follow a voice they didn't know. And that's what Jesus is telling us here, is the intimacy of he knowing our name, that we hear his voice, we follow, he knows the intimacy, that relationship we have with him. The story is told of a man in Australia who was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep. But he claimed emphatically that it was one of his own and it had been missing for several days. When the case went to court, the judge was puzzled, not knowing how to decide the matter. So at last he asked that the sheep be brought into the courtroom. And then he ordered the plaintiff to step outside and to call the animal. The sheep made no response except to raise its head and to look frightened. Then the judge instructed the defendant to go out into the courtyard and call the sheep. When the accused man began to make the distinctive call, the sheep bounded towards the door, and it was obvious that he recognized the familiar voice of his master. And that's how it is in the intimacy we have with our Lord. Also, during World War I, some Turkish soldiers tried to steal a flock of sheep from the hillside near Jerusalem. And the shepherd who had been there sleeping suddenly awakened to see his sheep being driven off to the other side of the ravine. So he could not hope to recapture his flock by force, but single-handedly, he had a thought. And standing up on the side of the ravine, he put his hands to his mouth and gave his own particular call that the sheep knew, which he used every day to gather his sheep to his side. The sheep heard the familiar sound, and for a moment they listened. Then hearing it again, they turned and rushed down to one side of the ravine and up towards their shepherd. And it was quite impossible for the soldiers to stop the animals. The shepherd was away with them to a place of safety before the soldiers could make up their minds to pursue them, and all because they knew their master's voice. And when we know our master's voice, we hear his call, we follow him, but he calls us and protects us from danger. He knows that intimacy and that relationship. He cares and is fully focused on us, knowing our name, but he also knows our need. And he knows exactly where to lead us to. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where he's going. And he knows where the still waters are. And he knows the best thing for you as a sheep because he knows you personally. And he knows your name. So the Lord is our shepherd. He is our Jehovah Ra'ah. So how do we make this personal? It's very personal to us because David says the Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal thing. How does this apply to our life? Well, in closing, five ways that we can simply apply this quickly is that because the Lord is our shepherd, we need to trust in the goodness of our shepherd. Trust in him, that he believed that he knows where he's going. He knows where he's leading you. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows when you need where the water is for you to drink. He knows the best, and he is good. And he has your best at heart. So trust that. Second, live life one day at a time. Trust the shepherd to provide for your need that you will not be in want. We will not lack anything. But he, follow the shepherd. This is what the sheep do. The sheep live their life one day at a time and they don't worry about tomorrow. We as well. Third, listen for his voice. Listening for his voice means inquiring, implies intimacy. That we got to be close enough to the shepherd to hear his voice when he calls us. That when he speaks to us through his word, that we can recognize the shepherd from the false shepherds out there. And Jesus warned that there would be false teachers that would come into the flock and try to deceive the sheep. And sometimes the false teachers will disguise their voice and the sheep think that it's the shepherd and the sheep have to be able to know and tell the difference. And we have to be able to tell the difference of when it's the Lord speaking, but listening to his voice when he speaks to us. and then follow his leading. As he speaks to us, follow him, his path that he's leading us to. The green pastures that he's taking us to, follow his lead, not our own. The problem with sheep is they like to go their own way. And sometimes we like to go our own way and not the way the shepherd's leading us. And he has to get that crook and pull us back. But follow his lead and then lie down in his presence. Take time to rest in him, to lie down in those green pastures, to be the tabernacle and tent and dwell in his presence. And just reflect on the greatness and the care and love of our good shepherd. For the Lord is our shepherd. We will not be in want. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your personal care for us, that you are our Jehovah Roar. You are our good shepherd. You are the one who cares for us deeply. And personally, you know our needs so well, and we will never want for anything. We are assured for that because you, our shepherd, will provide all that we need. Not everything we want, but all that we need. You will lead us to those green pastures where we can find nourishment for our soul, for the waters where we can drink and be refreshed. And you provide that through you and through your word. You make us lie down there. And sometimes we need that because we get so busy rushing here and there. We don't lie down in your presence enough. And lying down in your presence and just being, enjoying being in the presence of the shepherd and being refreshed there in that peace, that we can lie down in peace knowing that we are free from fear, free from friction, free from parasites, and free from hunger. And we just find all that we need in you. Father, we thank you that you lead us. You guide us in paths of righteousness. And when we go off that path and we wander our own way, you bring the crook and your staff and you bring us back again, or you prod us in the right direction. And we thank you that you guard us, that your rod is a comfort to us, knowing that you protect us from evil and from harm. We thank you that you are fully focused on us, that you know our name and you know our need, and nothing escapes your attention. And you are fully committed to us, that you gave yourself for us and when you will never abandon us. So thank you, Lord, for who you are as our shepherd. May we, your sheep, faithfully follow you. And may we, your sheep, listen to your voice and follow as you lead us. And be close to you, our shepherd. Thank you for the personal care that you have for every one of us as our Lord and as our master and as our shepherd. And to you be the glory and honor. And Lord, may we, your sheep, follow you as you lead us this week. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.